Our scripture reading, even though it says 14, we're starting at 24, John 16, 24 to 33. And please stand for the reading of God's Word. John 16, 24 to 33. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, for the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou know all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen.
14, verse 13. We will not have the homeless outreach this Saturday, since we're having the Good Friday service of Friday night, and with all of the stuff with moving and everything, so we've just put it off for this month. So thank you for your understanding. So this Friday, though, we definitely invite you to the office for our Good Friday service. We'll have two, either 5 o'clock or 7:15. We will have the Lord's Supper, and we have a very beautiful service of meditating on the death of Jesus and all that He endured for our sins on the cross. Of course, today is Palm Sunday. So this passage is taken from the week called the Passion Week. Did you know that the Gospel of John, about two-thirds of it are the last few hours of Jesus' life? It's amazing, really, because chapter 12 of John is the entry into Jerusalem. And then, you know, that's not even half of the book. And so really from chapter 14, 15, and 16, he's walking with the disciples. It's one long teaching discourse as he's walking with the disciples from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then chapter 17, of course, is his great, we call it the high priestly prayer. So all of these chapters, 14, 15, and 16, are a unit. They go together. Jesus is with his disciples, preparing them for his departure. He's leaving. He's telling them the Holy Spirit is coming. He's leaving, but the Spirit is coming. And he's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. And in the midst of all of this, as Jesus is facing this incredible moment, death, denial, betrayal, hatred, beating, brokenness, bruised, he says in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. So when the world seems like it's just crashing in on you like this little boat with the waves about to eat it up, sometimes we feel that way in life. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. So I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of peace under pressure. Peace in moments when the world seems it's crashing down. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, bless this moment. Give us grace as we consider your words to us, Lord Jesus, as you faced the pressure of you taking the sins of the world upon your own body to die for us on the cross. And Lord, yet you were and are peace. You are the Prince of Peace, and you give peace, and you are peace. So, Lord, we pray that we will receive that peace today and live according to your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, life is filled with pressure, isn't it? Our culture is pressing in on us. And sometimes pressure and problems come to us in a multitude of directions. And we're sometimes just like this picture, you know, we're just about to snap. We get stretched to the limit. You're tired. The bills are piling up. You lost your job. Tomorrow you gotta pay your taxes. It's a big tax day tomorrow if you haven't done that yet. You know, your car's broken down. And you couldn't even afford to buy the tires, and then the car breaks at the same time. And you can't even make the car payments, and you're behind, and the shower is leaking, and the kitchen is a mess, and your bed linens haven't gotten cleaned. You meant to clean them 2 weeks ago, and they're still dirty. You know, and it's just, you're just overwhelmed. And your teenager's going out with kids, you don't know what they're doing. And your kids are crying, and the diapers are dirty, and everything is breaking, everything's falling apart, and you're fighting with your husband, and your wife is all upset at you, and you're like, what? Life is tough. Sorry. Oh, I hope I'm not depressing you. So what do you do? We need peace. Because life is hard. We need peace. And so here, Jesus is facing so much. And he says, in me, you might have peace. The great missionary Hudson Taylor said it well. He said, it matters not how great the pressure is, only where the pressure lies. If we make sure it never comes between us and the Lord, then the greater the pressure, the more it will press us to Him. In other words, don't let the pressure be a wedge between you and Christ to separate you from the Lord, but let the pressure push you to the Lord and trusting in Him, because in Him is peace. As Jesus speaks these words, I can hear almost like an eerie stillness. It's quiet when He speaks these words to the disciples. I can hear like the crickets are chirping, or, you know, there's a quietness to this moment as Jesus is with His disciples. But there is danger brewing all around Him. While He is speaking this word to His disciples, the temple guards are plotting His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas is doing his work of betrayal. He's got the money rattling around in his greedy little hands, and he's getting ready to betray Jesus Christ. And he's about to face really the most incredible moment where God takes upon Himself the sins of the world. Jesus gives peace under pressure. So four things this morning I want us to see, and I hope this will help you. I really pray that we'll be people of peace in our lives. We need God's peace, don't we? And so that's my burden, that you will be able to take this message, and then that we could live out the peace of God no matter what trials we're going through or what trials you're walking into this week. Maybe you're facing difficult things as you go out into this new week. So Jesus, when He spoke these words, was going out into His own death. So first of all, we need to claim His gift of peace. So here He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, and what's the word after ye? It says, in me, ye, which is you all, what's that word? Might. You might. You might have peace. So the mood there is, you can have it, but you have to what? Claim it. You have to hold on. You have to grab this gift. This is a gift. He said even in John 15:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Will you claim this gift? John 15:27. He said, I give you this peace. So I say, be optimistic about life. You know, when everything's crashing in around you, it's very easy to just allow pessimism and negativism and distress and depression to take over us. But be optimistic, because Jesus said, in me, you can have what? Peace. So don't be cynical about life. Don't be defeatist about life. Be optimistic, because Jesus Christ says He can give us and will give us peace. And what's the key to this, though? The key to this peace is, and it's letter B in your notes, you should underline that, circle that point, is an abiding, presence with Jesus is the foundation of our peace. Because look what he says here in this verse. He says, again, these things have I spoken unto you. That, and what are the next two words? Where's peace? Is it in Bermuda? Oh, if I were just in Bermuda, I would have peace. Is it in a new Mercedes? Oh, if I just could have a new Mercedes, if I could sit behind the wheel and smell that new car smell, nothing like a new car smell. I agree. Then I could have peace. Or if I could just find the right guy, or just find the right, or whatever, the right job. Where is our peace? Where is it? It is in Jesus. In Him. He says it's in me. So dear friends, this is really, as Jesus gives this verse, He's really distilling all of His teaching from chapter 14 and 15. And this is like a summary statement. Because what has He been teaching them about in John 15? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine. So He said, abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. We have to abide in Jesus. That's what He's been teaching them throughout this passage, that we are in Him. So peace is available in Jesus Christ. We can have peace in Him. This is where our peace is. In union with Jesus. Peace through Jesus. You have to claim it. You know what? If you even won the lottery, which I don't recommend you playing, I've saved a lot of money over the years. Hallelujah. I've never bought a lottery ticket, amen? Hallelujah. But I'm just using this as an illustration. Even if you had the winning ticket of the lottery, you have to claim the victory. You have to present your ticket. They're not going to come to you. You have to claim it. So in that sense, you have to claim this peace. You have to recognize what Jesus is giving you and accept this peace from Him. Because, beloved, peace is not natural to ourselves. We are a raging sea. We are a complex, confusing, conflicted people. We have thoughts and emotions and motives and a conscience, and they pulsate and they pound into our mind, into our heart, in our conscience. And sometimes we feel happy. Sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we're sad. We don't even know why sometimes. But in Jesus we can have peace. And we need His peace, that tranquility of spirit, that rest in our souls. And it's in Him. So consider this. And I would just say, and I reworked this a little bit. This isn't in your notes. You might want to write this down, this statement down. Because we're talking about peace in Jesus, in me. This is an abiding relationship with Christ. Abide in me. And that's really what He's saying here. And I'm saying that an abiding in Jesus, it's nothing mystical here. It's not like, ooh, you know. It's practical. It's practical. It's not mystical. It's not mystical feeling. It's practical faith. Abiding in Jesus is what? Practical faith. Not mystical feeling. And it's through the Word of God. The Word of God. So when He said, if you're abiding in Jesus, what are you going to do? John 15:7. Look at that verse, please. And we'll look up that verse. John 15:7. What does it say? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So if you're abiding in Jesus, what's going to be abiding in you? His Word. His Word. So the Word of God gives peace. You've got to get God's Word in your mind, in your heart, as your meditation, as your delight. Thy Word was hidden. I hid God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against the Lord, the psalmist said. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate with. Day and night, the psalmist said. Day and night. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So abiding in Jesus is through the Word of God. Because even in this verse, look what he said. John 16:33. These things I have spoken. What's that? The Word of God. It's Jesus speaking. And He's spoken this, and He says, in me you might have peace. So the Word of God brings peace. Now, here's my two absolutely favorite verses about peace and the Word of God. You should memorize these if you haven't. Maybe you already have. Can you say them with me? Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. And I believe the Hebrew is literally double peace. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Whose mind. So we have to put our mind on what?
the Lord and His Word. We've got to take our mind off all our worries, off all of our problems, and put our mind and heart on Him, the Word of God. And I love this verse. I absolutely think this verse is powerful. Psalm 119, 165 says what? Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, we get offended so easily, but if we're loving God and His Word, we won't be offended so easily. So peace is through the Word of God, but peace is also through the Son of God. Obviously, the verse we're looking at, He said, I've spoken unto you, that's His Word, that in me, that's in Jesus. Peace is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is, Isaiah 9:6, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. Peace on earth was the message of the angels, right? Peace. He came to bring peace. And here's some verses about this. I love this verse. Acts 10:36. When Peter was preaching to Cornelius, he said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching what? Peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So peace comes through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. And peace comes through the blood He shed. Peace is through Jesus Christ, His very person, and the blood He shed. We have peace through the blood of His cross. Peace with God through the blood of His cross. In me, He said, you might have peace, the Word of God, the Son of God. And then I'll say third, peace comes through the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, this whole verse as well, John 16:33, the verse we're looking at, He says, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, how was He going to do that? How was He going to overcome the world? He was going to go to the what? To the cross. And after the cross, He was going to rise again. So the gospel, I believe, is clearly connected to our peace in this verse and throughout the other scriptures. The Bible even calls Paul, when he talks about the Christian armor, John chapter 6:15, says the gospel is peace, the gospel of peace. And look at this verse. Can we all read this together? He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our peace. In other words, salvation, that's justification. When you're justified, it's been well said, God looks at you through Christ just as if you've never sinned. Forgiven, righteous in His sight. And it's by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. We're not saved through religious rituals and works, not through baptism, not through church membership, not through taking communion or the Lord's Supper. We're justified, declared righteous by faith. Jesus did the work to save us. We cannot and do not add any works to His finished work. His work that saves is He died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood. And through the blood of Christ, we have peace with God. We need to have this peace with God, because our main problem is we're at war. Man is at war with God. Our culture is at war with God. Therefore, being justified. Are you saved? Have you been justified? Have you been born again? Have you come to the place where you could say, I know I have peace with God? Once you have peace with God, then through the Word of God, and we'll even talk a little bit more, then you can have the peace of God. Now, how can you have the peace of God? By the Holy Spirit. Because really, throughout these chapters, and Jesus is saying, in me, you might have peace. Well, what has He been talking to them about? He's talking to them about the Holy Spirit coming. Look, for example, back in John 14, please. If you go to John 14 and verse 16. John 14, 16, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth Him not. But ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He shall be in you, the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ will give comfort. We have comfort and peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And these chapters probably tell us more about the person of the Holy Spirit in a shorter space than any other one place in the Bible. Each chapter, 14, 15, 16, we don't have time to look up the verses, but there's all about the Holy Spirit coming, the third person of the Trinity. And He is the one who gives us the peace of God that passes all understanding. We can have peace, I believe, through prayer. Jesus also teaches prayer throughout this passage. You're right there in John 14. Look at the verses right before what we just read, where He said in John 14, verse 13, "Whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in My name, I will do it." And in the passage that was read to us this morning in John chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said in John 16, 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And then John 17 is the greatest single prayer perhaps in the whole Bible. It's the prayer of Jesus Christ to His Father, the real Lord's Prayer. So the peace of God is through the Holy Spirit, through prayer. As we walk with the Lord, we can have peace. We can cast all our cares on Him. He cares for us. And it's by the power of the Father's love. I love this verse. Look in John 16, 27, please. John 16, 27. He says, "For the Father Himself loveth you." Think of this. Jesus is teaching us, the Father Himself loveth you. You receive that? Will you let that word of Jesus come into your heart? The Father Himself loveth you. But then, what's the condition of that? He says, "Because you have loved Me." And He said earlier in John 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." But He says, "And have believed that I am came out from God." Do you believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, Amen. To the world for our sins? Amen. And do you love Jesus and you're seeking obedience to Him? Then you love Jesus, and then the Father loves you, dear friends. Receive that, and you can have peace. No matter what you're going through, you can have peace because the Father loves you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You have access to God in prayer. You have the Word of God. You believe the gospel of peace. And you know Jesus Himself. That's peace. The second thing is this. From our text, if you go back to John 16 and verse 33. So we see, first of all, we must claim His gift of peace. Second of all, Jesus is saying, face the reality of pressure. So just because He said in me, you might have peace, does it mean you're not going to have any problems? Does this mean all your problems are gone? No. He actually says, in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. And this is a reality. This is a fact. This is the way it is. You're in the world, and in this world, you will have tribulation. Literally, the word is pressure. You're going to get squeezed. So this is why we need His peace. So that is, we need to be realistic. Don't be naive as Christians. You know, there's the song, "Must I Be Carried to the Sky." Does anybody know that song? "Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease." That's right. So I remember I was working one day with a group of Christians, and we were moving furniture around. And it was like hard. We were sweating. It was summer, and it was heavy furniture. And he's like, "Hey man, life isn't flowery beds of ease." So we developed an acronym. We called it FBO. Not, this world isn't FBO, you know. It's not flowery beds of ease, you know. And it's not. In the world you will have tribulation. Now look at that little phrase, "in the world." Look at John 17, 11, please. John 17, 11. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are..." Where are you? In the world. So in the world you will have tribulation. And Jesus said, John 17, 11, "These are in the world." Are you in the world? You're in it. We're in the world. What are you going to eat? What you get from the world. What are you going to buy? What the world has around. You know, we've got to use this world. We don't abuse it, but we use it. We're in the world. But then He says in John 17, 14, "I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them." Are you willing to be hated? More and more the hatred's piling up on Christians. Because we're in the world, but then he says, let me finish my thought here. What's our relationship to this world that we're in? John 17:14. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Also verse 16, please. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, the fact is we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And if you are in Christ, in the world, not of the world is not going to appreciate what you believe. That's where we're at today, isn't it? Are you willing for that? Is that okay with you? Because if it's not okay with you, then you're basically saying, I don't want to be a Christian. Because Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you too. And this world is turning against Christian faith and our belief about the family, our belief about life, our belief about the gospel, our belief about heaven and hell. And the world will say, call us all kinds of names. But we have to realize we're in Jesus. And in this world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He says he has overcome the world. So I say, be realistic. Don't be naive. Just because you're in Christ, you're in the world, not of the world. And what's our relationship now? Go, stay in John 17. Look, please, at one more verse here. He says in John 17 and verse 18, here's how to live for Christ. In the world, not of the world. What does verse 18 say? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So here's how to live in this world. As sent from Jesus Christ. As a missionary. We should all have a missionary heart. We should all sense. Look, we're in this city. Praise God for this city full of multitudes of people. We can be missionaries. We need to be missionaries here in our city. You have an opportunity to reach people with the gospel that no one else will reach. That's your mission field, your community where you live, your building, your floor, or your workplace, or people that you're around. Let us not be ashamed. Now, work when you're supposed to work, but when you have opportunities to share your faith, and it will come out. You're going to be pressed into a situation where you have to let them know or take your stand in one way or the other, and we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We have to realize we're in the world, but we're not of it. And how do we show that? That we've been sent into it to tell them about Jesus. That's why we're here. So there's pressure in this world. That's the reality. We have to face that reality. So just real quick, I want to just give you these three pitfalls of thinking. This reality that there's pressure, so that we're in the world and not of it, and we're going to have tribulation in the world, that means we might go through some hard times. So I want to say, just don't ever think, whatever pressure or tribulation you're going through, don't ever think, oh, God mustn't love me. No, God loves you. In Christ, He says nothing will ever separate you from His love. Amen? Secondly, don't ever think that you have to understand why everything is happening. Sometimes you say, why is this happening? God must be angry with me. Let the trial, like I mentioned that quote from Taylor, don't let it not be a wedge that will get between you and Christ and drive you apart from Him. Let the trial press you to Christ. So when we're in a trial, the main question to ask isn't, why is this happening? But who is Jesus? I need to know Him better. That's the question. Let the trial drive you to Him and say, Lord, help me to know You better. And even if I don't understand why, help me to know You. The third thing that we might ask ourselves, and when we're in a tough situation and we're in a pressure situation and a difficult decision, or you know, the kids are little and they're screaming and whatever's going on, or you have a financial trouble pressing in, and man, you got more taxes to pay this year. Where are you going to get the money, you know, to pay the tax bills that are coming your way? Well, and we often ask ourselves, will this ever end? The good news is what? It will end. a good verse from the Old Testament, it says it many times. It says, and it came to pass. So, whatever you're going through now, it'll come to pass. Whatever trial you're in, It will end. And I put the verses in there. Someday we're going to see Jesus. And we will be glad and exceeding joy and leave this whole world behind. The third thing is this. So peace under pressure. Say, first of all, claim His gift of peace. He says, in me you might have peace. And then, second of all, face the reality of pressure. You will have tribulation. That's a fact. Thirdly, embrace His commands of courage. His command of courage. Embrace His command to be courageous. And here is a command where He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. That's a command. So here I say, be responsible. Be responsible. Be obedient. Obey the word of Christ. Say, okay, Lord, I don't feel so cheerful. I feel like maybe giving up a bit. I feel a little discouraged. I feel a little beat up. But you tell me, be of good cheer. You know when Jesus spoke that word? He spoke that word to the man they let down through the roof. And he couldn't walk. He said, be of good cheer. And his sins were forgiven. And he rose up and walked. You know when Jesus spoke this word, be of good cheer? He spoke it when the disciples were on the ship and there was a storm and Jesus wasn't there. It was dark. They'd been rowing. They were like in the middle of the sea. They weren't getting anywhere. They were like, we're never going to get there, you know. They thought they were going to die and they were going to sink. And all of a sudden they see something walking on the water and they thought it was who? At first, a ghost. It's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it is I. Be of good cheer. I'm with you. So be of good cheer. He forgives you. Be of good cheer. He's with you in the storms. Be of good cheer. Challenges. Our sorrows. Our fears. Our pessimism. Be of good cheer. It means to be like daring. Be bold. Be cheerful. Be courageous. That's the idea of be of good cheer. Be trusting. Filled with faith. Don't be afraid. Be confident. Be of good cheer. Hugh Latimer was an English reformer and martyr in the 1500s. He had to speak before King Henry VIII. And he said to himself, Latimer, Latimer, you're going to go before King Henry VIII. Don't forget the words you say to him. He could send you to prison and cut off your head. So be careful not to say anything to offend the king, Latimer. Don't be stupid. And then he thought about that and he felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to him. Latimer, Latimer, remember you're going to go stand before the king, but don't forget you stand before the King of Kings while you're standing before King Henry VIII. And King Henry VIII will one day stand before me as well. So be faithful to declare to him the word of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer, Latimer. Be courageous. Be daring. Be bold. Don't be afraid. And he wasn't. And he died a martyr's death eventually. I say, we need to be of good cheer in our city. I just felt like putting some of our outreach pictures up. You know, God is amazing. He brings people to our church at just the right time. You know, because for years, and I have a picture of Helen. I have a picture here of Sister Helen. Helen loves to pass out tracts. I think she's passed out more tracts than anyone I've ever met in my life. Helen is a soldier of Christ. But you know, she was going out there to pass out tracts. She couldn't walk. She could barely stand for an hour, but she would do it for that hour. And I commanded her, Helen, you got to stop doing this. And yeah, I she's glad I did because she couldn't do it. We need to pray for her. But you know, at just that time, God brought Edwin and Rebecca into our church to really lead our outreach ministry. And they've been such a blessing. And we go out sometimes. This is at Washington Square. We've been going right over here to the subway. And one of the songs we sang today, There's Power in the Blood. That's one of our songs. And we sing. And, you know, people have different responses. But, beloved, people stop. One guy stopped a few weeks ago and he said, you know, I used to go to church and hear these songs. And I haven't been to church for a while. And he listened to us sing a number of songs. Other people, they tape us on there or they video us on there. Smartphone, and maybe somebody else watches us when they put us on Facebook. Who knows? But It's a blessing, and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to evangelism, I'm not pragmatic. I'm not pragmatic. And you know what I mean by that? I mean, you might say, well, has anyone come to church who has gotten a gospel tract? Pragmatism is, well, if nobody comes to church and if it doesn't look like it's working, let's not do it. I'm not pragmatic when it comes to evangelism. We have to be obedient. One way or the other, we have to be obedient. And we have to let the results to God. I do believe this. As we go out with the gospel, God will bless us and bring people into our church. I mean, even I wish this place were overflowing, but look around here. Look at the people that are here. In Greenwich Village, Manhattan, with everything going on, I still believe this church is a miracle. That you're here. Thank God for you being here. But let's have more people come in. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's have more people come in. I say, let's join our brother. Let's join our sister. Let's go out there and sing. Even if you say, I can't do that. Well, how about once a month? Well, no, how about once every 2 months? How about once a quarter? Sometime. Come on. We really would love to have your voice out there singing with us. Have a passion for the gospel. You know, remember our brother James? He can't do it anymore. He used to go out with the homeless. He loved the homeless outreach. He's here with Christy, praying for a homeless person. He's with the Lord. James was in our midst. We met him at Penn Station in a homeless situation. And now he passed away. He's with the Lord. Thank God for my wife. Should I skip over my wife like that? Please. My wife. She's teaching the kids today. Thank God for my wife. I have the most wonderful wife. She has such a passion for God and for the Word of God, I have to tell you. Continue to pray for us and pray for my wife. And pray that God will give Helen new knees so she can get back out there on the track ministry. Pray for Helen. Amen. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, Helen. Be bold. Be courageous. Be daring. Get your knees. We need you back out there, sister. Amen. I'm putting pressure on her here. The tribulation of the world is coming upon her here. But isn't it great to go to the mission field? Oh, we have a great time. But our mission field is here. We can do it all the time. But let's go to the mission field. Let's keep going. Oh, let's go to the Philippines. Amen. Ooh, taking the marine vehicle up the mountain. That was exciting. Praise God. He protected us. We went up the mountain. And God was with us all the way up. Even though some ladies fell. I don't want to say who. But some ladies fell off the motorcycle. I was walking along. And all of a sudden, you know, I was like, who was that? It was. I won't say who. I'm not going to say. But praise God, we all made it up there. Amen. And here we are at the top of the mountain. Even Sister Joni made it up. Hallelujah. God bless you, Joni. We didn't make it up there last time. Only Pastor Carmine and I got all the way up to the top of that mountain last time. We all got up there this past time. And we were singing up there. And we had a great time sharing the gospel. But we need a passion for the Word of God. He said, in me, you have peace. I thank God for our Institute students. This is some of the students from our Institute. And I thank God for our missionaries who have a passion for the gospel. And who are being of good cheer. I just put these pictures in here. I don't even know what they have to do with the sermon anymore. But I like them. Amen? Okay. Okay, the last point is this. Rejoice in the fact of His conquest. Rejoice in the fact of His conquest. So I'm saying we can have peace. Peace even under pressure. We have to claim that gift of peace. And then number two, we said we have to face the reality of pressure. And the reality of pressure makes the necessity of His peace even more. Because we can't make it on our own. So then we embrace His command of courage when we feel that pressure coming. Be of good cheer, even in the midst of difficult situations. And then rejoice in His conquest. Because He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So notice this expression now. Look again at this verse. I have in my Bible underlined, in me. And in me, Jesus said, we have what? Peace. But where are we at the same time? We're in Jesus, but we're also where? In the world. I have that underlined. In the world. We're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. What has Jesus done? He's overcome the world. He's overcome The world, what's the world? The power of evil. The power of unbelieving mass of mankind. Who's the God of this world? The devil is the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Has Jesus defeated Satan through the cross and through His resurrection? Has He defeated Satan? Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. He's crushed underneath the Savior's feet. Jesus crushed the serpent's head. He has no authority and no power over us. We're His. We're Jesus' is. We're not the devil's anymore. We're children of light, not children of darkness. We're children of God, not children of the devil. We're in Christ. We're not serving Him anymore. He's overcome Satan. He's overcome death. Death has no power over us anymore. Now, we're going to die physically. But now, you know what death is for a Christian? It's our servant. It's our servant. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 2, he says, all things are yours. And he gives a list of things that are your servants, and one of them even is death. Because in Christ, death becomes the door to bring us into the very presence of Jesus Christ. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? It's gone in Jesus Christ. We have victory over death in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. He's overcome the world. The power of evil, the power of the devil, the power of his demons, the power of Satan, the power of death, and the power of sin. Sin does not have to be and should not be your master anymore. You should get the victory over sin. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. As you walk in Jesus, as you walk by faith, as we walk by faith and not by sight, He is our victory now over even sin. Over the penalty of sin, and yes, over the powers of sin that be. Because now we're in Christ. He has defeated sin. And we can walk in victory. We can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the Word of God. We can have joy. We can have peace in a difficult, trouble-filled world. We can have victory now. Go to 1 John, please, as we close. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And guess what the good news is? Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Because when you're in Christ, you overcome the same world He overcame. His victory is your victory. His victory is mine. Claim that victory in Christ. Amen. Claim the victory over sin. Claim the victory over Satan. Claim the victory over death. Whatsoever is born of God, have you been born of God? Are you born again? Is the Spirit in you? Have you believed in Christ? Repented of your sin? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He asks. Who overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because He's the one who overcame it for us. Let's pray. Let's stand together as we pray. Peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Great peace have they which love thy law. There's the way of peace for us, beloved. We just have to be willing to embrace that gift and claim that gift of peace through Jesus. How many would say here today, Pastor Matt, I'm a Christian, but I've not been living with real peace in my heart. I've been stressing and straining and not abiding in Christ by spending that important time of getting His Word into my heart and mind, delighting in His Word, walking in His Spirit, resting in His wonderful salvation. I'm going to say, Pastor Matt, pray for me that I would truly experience God's peace in my life. As I abide in Jesus, and as His words abide in me. Can I see your hand? Just put your hand up to the Lord, just before God, and you're praying as you put your hand up to the Lord and asking the Lord to convict you, to draw you to Him, repenting of any sin in your life, turning from your pride, turning from your evil ways, turning from your deception, from your hypocrisies. And say, Lord, I want Your peace. This world will not give you peace. The Bible even says there's no peace to the wicked. Sin is the robber of peace every time. Every time it's tried. Sin will take away your peace. You can put your hands down and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, for Your love. And if anyone who raised their hand feels the need to just come and pray during this time, you can. You can come and pray. The altar here is open. You can get on your knees or stand if you want in the presence of God. God is speaking to your heart. It's sometimes good to just humble ourselves and come to the Lord in prayer. But is there anyone here today who would say, Pastor Matt, I'm not saved. And I don't have peace. And I need the peace with God through Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner and under the very condemnation of God because of my sins. And I need peace with God. I need my sins forgiven. And I'm willing to trust Jesus Christ to take my sins away and save me. Is there anyone who'd say, Pastor, pray for me? Is there anyone here today like that? Can I see your hand? God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love. Oh God, we pray for this precious one who raised their hand, that You'll open their heart to You to embrace Your wonderful salvation. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And that one who raised your hand for salvation, could you just look up here at me for a moment? Would you like somebody to show you from the Bible today how you can have eternal life? You could just step out and come. We'll have another lady show you from the Bible as when we sing in a few moments, or you can come now, either way. Okay? Could you bring Liana to either my wife or Anna if they're available? Okay. You can go. He'll bring you to my wife or to Anna. He'll bring you to where my wife or to another lady. Okay. I'm sorry? You could make... Okay. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank You for the victory that we have in You today. Oh, God, we want to just claim Your gift of peace for our life. And Lord, we are realistic to know that there's trial in this world, Lord. There's financial trouble and there's physical troubles and bodily aches and pains and troubles. But Lord, we thank You that You're with us through all these troubles and trials. So help us to be of good cheer and to be courageous in our condition and situation, and to know, Lord, that You're our victory. You're our conqueror, Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.